Welcome to Come Together San Diego, the live local show on K-Praise, designed to explore what unity in the body of Christ sounds like within our communities and beyond. Don't just listen to it, be a part of it. Now, here's your host, Bible teacher, writer, broadcaster, and lover of God, Kaz Taylor.
Welcome to Come Together San Diego, my friends. We're going to meander around a place called Israel today, and also meander around a place called the United States of America and see the common denominators that God put there. But also we're going to discover some of the things that God has presented in Scripture and how they're coming to pass today and even into tomorrow. So, you know, one of the finest people I know that can bring those topics to bear is a longtime friend, Byron Stinson. He's basically a resident of in Texas and in Israel, and he's done a lot of work. He's founded Father's House Foundation. Really, it's a public charity involved in mercy ministries and educational journeys to Israel and so many more things, including B'nai Israel, which is tied to the phrase building Israel. It's a nonprofit to build up and revive important Bible sites and really bring the Bible to life. That's what he does. He's been a friend for quite a while, and here he is, Byron Stinson. Hello, Byron.
Hello, my friend Kaz. It's good to hear from you, buddy.
It's good to hear from you as well. I knew that you were getting ready to pack up and go to Israel for a little season, but I wanted to catch you before you left. And you've got a lot of things going on both here and in Israel, and not only Jerusalem, but other parts of Israel as well. My friends, Byron is a Glen Rose, Texas businessman. He owns an organization called Stinson Motor Lines, and he also in the past served as the Somerville County Constable in 96 through 79, 76 through 79. He's a remarkable guy. He's got great insights, and I wanted to have him share with you some things that are going on. Now, Byron, even though I probably did a lot of your personal testimony, I blabbed it before you could even open your mouth, I'm going to invite you to do the same thing and then tell us a little bit about the overall view with your heart and heart cry for Israel. Byron Stinson.
Thank you. So I will tell you that I am a team leader for B'nai Israel, which means to build up Israel. And we've been doing projects in the land for many years. But one of the biggest things that B'nai Israel does is it gives educational material and opportunities for citizens of the United States of America to be connected religiously and connected to the land and the people of Israel. So our real hope through our work is that through education and through understanding the archaeology and the land of Israel, we'll see the Bible come to life for believers here in the United States and around the world. And so just really happy to be part of that. I do have two organizations that I am the chairman of the board of. One is Glen Rose Transportation Management, and the other one is a company called National Fleet Tracking. Through National Fleet Tracking, we keep children safe on the side of the road by using GPS. Whenever a child gets on a bus, it immediately swipes in, lets the parent know, sends a text to the parent, let them know that the child is now safe on the bus and not on the side of the road waiting or something that happened to a child in the morning or in the evening when they get off the bus. So
that's good,
we're able to help a lot of children through that, through Bus View is one of our things that we do. So that's some of the things that I do, Kaz, and stay real busy. Of course, I have eight children, one deceased now, but eight children and 19 grandchildren. And so my wife, bless her heart, she is really busy keeping me straight.
I know she is. His wife, Tammy Stinson, is a remarkable lady. And you know, my listening friends, you know, I want to give you a visual blessing as well as an audio blessing as you listen to this radio broadcast. So I'm going to invite you to visit his website. You can even do that while you're listening to the show. What's that website, the best website for you, Byron?
So for me personally, it's just my name, which is byronstinson.me, and that's byronstinson.me.
Yep. And you can go there, my friends. That actually has links to other places that Byron might want you to go as well. But byronstinson.me, correct?
Yes, that's right, Kaz.
Very, very good. Okay, so tell us a little bit, you know, since October 7th in particular, things are really bubbling in many ways in Israel. And I'm kind of surprised that you were actually able to go there, but you're a man who has a hall pass. So tell us a little bit about what you have planned on this visit.
Well, you know, they did shut down some planes for a short time, but the airport's been open for a while. There's already people on the Sea of Galilee taking tours there, and businesses, tourism is coming back. There's still some danger, as we all know, and the news hyperventilates over that. But there's already, you know, people are living their life. Children are going to school. Dentists are fixing teeth. I mean, life goes on in Israel, and yes. The airport's open. And so you can go, and we'll be taking groups of people there and enjoying that again. The Lord's in control. He brought back the tribe of Judah was in exile in the nations for 2,000 years. But every prophet said that God would bring them back to the land, put them back in the land, give them that land as their inheritance. And he's going to do that for his glory. And today, and he also said he would have them rebuild their cities on the ancient ruins. And that was before they even got ruined. He said he was going to have them rebuild on the ruins.
Yes.
And so today, that's all that has happened, and Israel's a strong nation, able to defend themselves and going to defend themselves. And so that's what's going on, and I'll be perfectly comfortable back home in my home in Jerusalem and taking many people to visit the sites and be able to see that the truth of the Bible is what they can count on. Without that, where would we go? You know, if we just had to trust in our politicians and the things of the world, would be lost. But we have something much more precious, and that's the Word of God.
That's right.
And all of it being played out. And there's no greater place than Israel to see the truth of that, even right now.
That's right. You used the phraseology, Byron, of visiting the sites, and that's one thing that people get to do with you. But one of the things also, because you are such an astute Bible student, but also one of the comments you made to me when we were in Israel together, you said the ground itself, the very territory, the ground and the items on the ground are really the best testament to the history of Scripture. You align that with the Bible, and it gives you a brand new look at the old book. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Just like the Spirit of God can talk to us and guide us and direct us, and the words of God can guide us and direct us, the very land, the very rocks, the very stones, those things that are being discovered there, 100% the evidence that's needed for many people in the natural to see that the Bible is a true, it's a true story. It's God's story that he foretold what would happen. And so, it's nice to have that knowledge and to go to the land and be able to share with so many pastors and church leaders and let them have that as a way to build their faith and then lead their congregations and know more about what God's doing here in these last days. We have the assurance that evil will continue to try to be evil, but we have more assurance that good will pour out
triumph
and we
over
will be
evil.
Able to be okay during the time when evil's trying to pour out. So we have to walk this out for a time, but there is a promise that if the church worldwide will continue to pray like Jesus told us to, we would pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we'll keep praying that, then a kingdom will come that is ruled by the Messiah that will bring peace to the earth. The weapons of war will be destroyed, and we'll all be able to live safely without having to worry about the things that are out there right now. That's our promise from the Word of God, and I believe it. And I think we're getting closer and closer as things started to unveil themselves right now. And as Jews and Christians worldwide become one tree together, you know, that's what Paul told us. He said that we are just grafted into this tree of Israel. And so if we're not two trees, we're not a Christian tree and a Jewish tree. We're like one tree. That's God's people. And it is together that Judah and Israel combined back together become this one strong tree that's a testimony to the glory of God. And it all happens in the land of Israel is where we connect.
I agree.
It's really exciting to see what God's doing.
Yes. So my San Diegites, my friends on Come Together San Diego, you just need to know how pertinent this information is for us. Byron's going to give us some insights on that. And we know that evil is going to continue to pour out, but God's saints, particularly with a an even growing point of view of what the whole picture of God is from the scripture, but also the real life events that are happening in and around Israel from people like Byron Stinson and others. It's going to be amazing that you're built for exactly this time. In this radio broadcast, we're going to share more about that when Byron Stinson and I talk more about this and other projects that he and they have in the works when Byron and I come right back.
This is Come Together San Diego, the live local show on K-Praise. More Come Together San Diego is just moments away. Come Together San Diego with Kaz Taylor on K-Praise.
Welcome back to Come Together San Diego, my San Diegites, and you may also be some Israelites at heart. We're going to talk more about those things. My co-host and guest for this entire 2 hours is Byron Stinson. He's a man who has homes not only in the Jerusalem area, but he lives in Texas as well. He's a powerhouse. He takes trips to Israel, taking pastors and leaders there to expose the truths of Scripture. And when he invited me to visit with him, I came back with a different overview on understanding of Scripture. So when I teach Scripture, I have to teach it a little differently because Byron gave me some insights I didn't even know were true. And he's given scriptural support to back those up. I have Byron Stinson with me, and he's working on so many different projects in and around Israel. One of them is called the Gilgal Project. And we're going to start out by having Byron describe what that is. And you're going to be familiar with some of the phraseology he uses because, by gum, it's all biblical. And when he starts giving you the real points of view based on a written down scripture, written down hundreds and thousands of years ago, you go, wow, that really is. And it's NOW now. Byron, the Gilgal Project.
So when we got to Israel back in 2007, there was a fresh archaeological find that wasn't very old at that time. It was discovered by Adam Zertal, and it was the actual stones that Joshua had laid on the ground in a foot type. It looks like a sandal on the ground, but it's a huge monster foot, basically. And it's at the place where the Jewish, after wandering in the desert, after coming out of Egypt, wandering in the desert after 40 years, God directs his people to come all the way to the place of Gilgal and to cross the Jordan River. And when they cross the Jordan River, they do it. It's at flood stage, but miraculously, the Bible lets us know that as the Ark of the Covenant reached the water, then the water receded and they crossed on dry land. And we're camped that first night at a place called Gilgal. Now, if we want to know more about Gilgal, you got to see that the angel of the Lord is stationed there all throughout the Bible. We see all kinds of messages and God using Gilgal over and over. One of the first places that I believe that it's referenced is when the angel of the Lord is stationed from the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is sent east to be stationed at a certain place. And that's where the angel of the Lord is still stationed there at Gilgal. So at Gilgal is a place where the fresh water from the Jabbok River coming from the far east empties into the Jordan River. So this is how Abraham would have journeyed into the land. His first footstep would be in the land at Gilgal. Now you're talking 1800 B.C. And then this is the same place then that later on his grandson Jacob leaves the land because he has to follow the water source. He leaves at Gilgal. We have a story from that. And then when he decides to come back several years later after having Leah and Rachel as his wife, he wrestles with the angel of the Lord before he's allowed to come into the land at Gilgal. Once again, the angel of the Lord there again. And then we see Joshua come in. God leads him to that exact place. He comes in, they camp there, and Joshua runs into the angel of the Lord at that place. And so we see this entry place, and we see the same thing over and over and over, hundreds of years apart at the exact same location. And in our lifetime, in 2004, a man named Adam Zertal found all of that, and it was just sitting out there on the ground. Nobody could get to it, and the hope was, when you read the book of Joshua, if you read about those stones, Joshua said, we're going to put these stones on the ground so in the future, far in the future, people will see these stones and they will know the Bible's true. Well, that's our goal, is to let people know the Bible's true. So So when we saw that, and that's where it laid, we decided we would put a way to drive buses in there, put a parking lot for buses, and allow tourist buses to get there and actually see the stone. So that was phase one. We built a huge tower there. And so people can go and they can see it and they can understand that this is the actual place where the children of Israel first enter the land, make circumcision, the manna stops falling, the Ark of the Covenant is there, and then they go down and they war against Jericho and they build Joshua's altar, which is up on the mountain above Gilgal. So that's our project at Gilgal. We're now looking for phase two of that. What we want to do is we want to build some really super nice restrooms, possibly put a tabernacle tent there, just, you know, in a facsimile of the Ark of the Covenant, so people could understand what it would have been like at the time that Joshua was there. Later on, at Gilgal, Saul comes there, and the whole nation comes there to make him king. That's the first government that's under a man rather than being under the government of God himself. And then you see then later on that King David is not anointed there for his first time he becomes king. That happens with Samuel at Bethlehem. But then whenever he leaves the kingdom and then is asked to return as king a second time, they anoint him at Gilgal on that second time there at Gilgal. So many things happened at Gilgal, and today it's happening again. The people are back in the land, and it's the entry place to come into the land, and it's also the gateway, if you will, back to the Garden of Eden or back to eternal life, and all of that is true at Gilgal.
My. So this, you guys have been working on this Gilgal project for quite some time, and you're in the second phase of this. Let me ask you how you are presenting the truths. You know, obviously, I've been there. I've been to Israel numerous times and visited there. When I was visiting there, it was a bunch of stones that was seemingly placed in proper places and things like that, and a little bit more going on there, but not much more. How are you presenting these truths there? Are you using, in addition to the actual landscape, the geography, are you showing artifacts at that location, and are you, also doing any video stuff? What's that going to look like?
So actually on the ByronStenson.me page, you can go down and there's a little short 2-minute video that is a piece, just a little portion of a longer video we made that's an educational video that we hope to show right there on site at where the Gilgal is. And so that will help people understand those things I just spoke to you about, how this was the place where the angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob, and his name was changed to Israel, and that's where the nation began. And so that video is now, it's done. It took us, I think, $40,000 to do that video. And now we're working towards wanting to show that to people from all the nations of the earth as they come to Israel. And they come by, they can stop and see that video. So that's one of the things we're doing there. And then, like I said, I would like to see, as funding is available, you know, all these things depend on funding as it comes in. But I would like to see a tabernacle tent there, and I'd like to see people out there showing an example to the buses that stop of exactly how it's laid out east to west, because it was laid out like the tabernacle tent or laid out like the temple. You have like an outer court. Then you have the holy place and then the holy of holies. There's a place where only the kings and the priests could climb the hill. And there was a platform where the king could stand there and give edicts to and tell everyone the plan for the day. And so there's a lot of things there that are not easy to explain if you don't have the film and you don't have a shady place for people to stand where it's cooler and teach from. So we have more to do there. But, you know, we have a lot of other projects too.
Yes,
so
yes, you do. We're going to talk about these. We're going to talk about these projects as we go through this broadcast. But let's stay here for just a little bit. We've got a couple minutes left in this segment.
Sure.
You know,
you bet.
When you mentioned, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, of course, you know, because you and I have visited, it is a very, very dear, perhaps the most reverent piece of biblical furniture was ever created. And it's a heavenly, it's an illustration of the heavenly truths as well. But also you mentioned the tabernacle. I'm trusting you're talking about the Tabernacle of Moses. You know, because you and I visited about this, the Tabernacle of Moses is a remarkable structure. And getting that in a construction, you know, facsimile thereof in Gilgal would be remarkable. And the Ark of the Covenant, words can't even express that. So we've got maybe a minute or so left. Do you want to give a word of encouragement to our listening friends, and then I'll close this segment. And maybe the next segment we'll talk a little bit more about some other things. You've been intimately involved with the Garden of Gethsemane as well. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Any brief words of encouragement to our listening friends, Byron?
Well, I'll just say this, you know, in the book of Joshua makes it clear that he's laying those stones on the ground so that in the future people would know, that they would see those stones and know that the Bible's true. And then just like the people being brought to the land, those stones are there for that. I mean, God wants us to know. He wants us to know that he is God. He can say what's going to happen at the end from the beginning. And he wants us to have strength in that. And he wants us to follow after his way and his kingdom and his glory more than even for our own nation or for anything else. Follow him with all your heart. Study your word. And let's connect between our Jewish fathers of faith and Christians worldwide.
Yep.
And let's see these things on the ground be known to everybody, whether you're in China or wherever you are, that you need to know about what God's doing in Israel.
Thank you, Byron. We're going to talk more about that, but also the Garden of the Gethsemane and a cleaning project that Byron has been involved with. We'll talk more about that and so many more things when Byron Stinson and, me will be right back.
More Come Together San Diego with Cass Taylor is next on K-Praise. Now, back to Come Together San Diego, the live local show on K-Praise with Cass Taylor.
Welcome back to Come Together San Diego, my listening friends. I am pleased to take you on this journey to a place called Israel and some of the ventures and events going on there right now. A lot of them will help open the eyes to people who love Scripture so that they can really see what it was really like during those scriptural days and those scriptural accounts. You know, Byron Stinson has been involved with the Father's House Foundation and so many other things in actually doing restoration things in the Israel area. One of them drew my attention. It's called the Cleaning Project of the Garden of Gethsemane. You know about the Garden of Gethsemane. And Byron, as you share with us a little bit about this cleaning project, one of the things that I noticed in one of my numerous journeys to Israel is the Jews revere these sites, and there are other people in the land that want to destroy them or at least make them uncomely. And so I think the whole idea of the cleaning project at the Garden of Gethsemane, what a beautiful and austere place, but there's been a lot of junk things going on. Some is naturally related because of the progression of time, but also some of it is done by human beings. You want to talk a little bit about the reason behind the cleaning project at the Garden of Gethsemane? Byron Stinson.
Absolutely, Cass. So in 2007, we had started a foundation called the Father's House Foundation and taken our first groups of pastors and church members over there for educational trips, see the archaeology. Now, you have to remember that a garden is at the bottom of the valley. That's where the deep, good soil is down at the bottom. In Israel, there is a church called the Church of All Nations that people call that the Garden of Gethsemane. It has some beautiful olive trees, and it's just up the slope of the Mount of Olives. It's a great place, but it's not really the garden place. The real garden place below the Eastern Gate is the King's Garden. It's the Garden of the Kings right there. And so when we got there in 2007, the gentleman that I was working with and still work with, his name is Moshe. Moshe said, Byron, we need to clean the Garden of Gethsemane. It's full. The tombstones are Catholic. They've all been kicked over, knocked down. There's trash, and it needs to be gated and cleaned up. We need to plant trees, and there's a sewer line that's just putting raw sewage out onto the land. We need a sewer pipe, and we want you to head that up. And so he said it's like $3.5 million. Well, I told him, Kaz, I said, Moshe, I don't have that kind of money. He said, well, Byron, here's the thing. If you put your foot into the water, if you take a step in, I believe God will come along behind us and we'll be able to get the project done. So let's just get started. At that time, the Lord delivered to me a little over $100,000, you know, as a leasing opportunity for some gas wells. So my wife and I gave $120,000. And we made a deal between the Catholic Church and it's called the East Jerusalem Development Corporation. And we drew up the plans for to restore all of that. And we hired a lot of Arabs and we started cleaning and moving forward. And what happened through that process is we were looking at the 60th anniversary of Israel as a nation. And the Pope came down, saw actually a group that was looking for a place for the Pope to speak from there in Jerusalem, because he was speaking there for the 60th anniversary of the nation. And they said, hey, where you cleaned it up, that looks good. We're going to get you to move all your people out and get out of the way so we can let the Pope speak there. And my friend Moshe, he was an aloof in the military, a high-ranking officer, and he just told him, no, we're too busy. Ask the Pope to speak somewhere else. That's my friend Moshe. So they came back and said, no, we're not going to speak somewhere else. Give us that plan. We handed over the plan with our name on it. It said Mereshit Foundation. That was the name of our organization we were working through. And they took our plan and they said, we'll finish the plan. The Pope is going to speak from here. So the rest of the plan was finished by the hands of the Catholic Church. But to this day, it's still the plan of Mereshit, and we're the ones that kicked it off. And like Moshe said, if you'll start it, it'll get finished, and it did. And it's beautiful to this day. It's a lot nicer down there because the sewage is all taken care of. And so that was one of those things. I got to see God's hand. He came in, and we just used our faith to get started, and then sure enough, it got done. And so just a blessing for our organization, the Father's House Foundation, and for us to be able to be part of that and watch God help clean his land, because that's what he's doing. He's going to take care of the land. He's our Father in heaven watching all that.
Yes. You know, my listening friend, I think this is a perfect time for me to jump on in. And when you talk about cleaning the land, take a look inside yourself, what God does in the natural, he does in the spiritual as well. Is there any land cleaning in you that needs to be done? One of the things that Byron said in particular was, you stick your foot in the water. This is an analogy of walking, putting your foot in the Jordan River or the sea that parted in Egypt. The truth of the matter is, once you do what you can do, that one foot into that area, then God will make a way and provide a solution. So my listening friend, to you who are listening, whatever your garden looks like, you know, you can define that however you want, whatever your garden looks like, God is saying, put your foot into the water. In other words, you take the first step and then entrust me to do the cleansing from that point forward. So that happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Byron, you talked a little bit about you hired Arabs to do some of the cleaning. Was that a political reason behind doing that or what?
Well, yeah, you know, we have a lot of Arab friends over there, and they need work, and they work in the City of David archaeological digs, and we're connected to them. I have many good Arab friends that I love very much, and they love me. And they have nothing to do with the, you know, Hamas and all of that. They just want to live good lives and help people and be friends. And so, you know, they need work, and they live right there locally. I think more important, Kaz, is to know that the king's garden is the king of Judah, okay? And the reason that Jesus was in that garden all the time is because his family lineage was to the kings of Judah. And so in that garden, there is a special tomb was allowed to be placed there, and that's the tomb of Jesus's mother, Mary. Now, she was able to be buried in that valley, in the Garden of Gethsemane, not because of her power as a Catholic, because that didn't come for 300 years after she died. She was placed in the tomb because of her lineage back to King David, because she was this shows us that through our Roman teachings that we have of her being such a poor person and Jesus coming from a poor family needs to be reexamined a lot closer. And there's a lot of other places that make us do that too, because he absolutely was in the lineage of the kings and was in line to be a physical king of Israel. But Herod was reigning as a king, not from Judah, but under the authority of Rome. And this is the fourth, this is the contention that was there in that valley at the time of Christ, because you had someone from the line of the kings that everybody was saying, tell us you're the king and we'll make you king. And we had Herod, who had his own priesthood, Caiaphas and them, who were not the proper priesthood, running a temple that was Herod's temple, which, by the way, was an antichrist temple. There's never been one that was more antichrist than what Herod was doing at that time. Wow. So you have the contention all the way back to the time of Christ, where you see this royal line of Judah fighting against the governments of the world that were being placed by the Romans. And it all was happening right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's so much to learn in that one place on earth. It's just amazing as we go there.
Oh, my, it is. And you talk about the Garden of Gethsemane, which really opens the door to the next topic. You, during my visit with you, you had me view a place called Bethlehem Ephrathah. I may have mispronounced that, but all these things give you a brand new look at the way things were back in the day. Jesus was of the royal family. His mother was of the royal family. And a lot of that is seen in the land. We're going to talk more about that in the next segments. In fact, we're going to take the next two segments and talk about a Micah 5, the book of Micah, chapter 5, references to Bethlehem Ephrathah or Ephrata. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And Byron was kind enough during my stay there to take me on a few tours that absolutely blew my mind. And I'm going to invite him to take us on a verbal tour of this when we come right back. My listening friend, it's a pleasure to have Byron Stinson. ByronStinson.me. Find out more about that when we get further into this. So we're about ready to jump into new things. A place in Micah 5 talked about Bethlehem Ephrathah. We'll talk more about that and the things that are there. Get ready to be absolutely amazed, because we're going to take a new look at the old book when Byron Stinson and I dig deeply. We actually literally dig deeply, and as well as we have dug in the ground deeply as well to discover these things when Byron Stinson and I come right back.
This is Come Together San Diego, the live local show on K-Praise. More Come Together San Diego is just moments away. Now, more of Come Together San Diego, the live local show on K-Praise. Here's Kaz Taylor.
Hello, my listening friends. Welcome back as we scour through the Bible and introduce nuances and points of view that are biblical that people really won't comprehend until they actually see the turf itself. So that's really kind of an open invitation to visit the land of Israel and visit the scripture with bright new eyes. You know, the Bible talks about the minor prophets, including Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. There are a lot of different Old Testament scriptures that bear a lot of truths once you actually get on the land. And Micah chapter 5 is one of those areas. It talks about Bethlehem Ephrathah or Ephrathah. I pronounce it differently than Byron, and I would kind of go with his translation rather than mine. Byron Stinson, a man of Israel, a man of the United States, with Bible teaching truths. Share with us some insights on Micah chapter 5, Byron Stinson.
Hey, Kaz. So, you know, the base of that word, Bethlehem Ephrathah, is Ephrat. Ephrat means the fruit. And the fruit of the house of bread, because that's what Bethlehem means. Beit is house, lechem is bread. So it's the fruit from the house of bread, which is wheat and barley. And this is the place where Ruth and Boaz come together. And in the story of Ruth and Boaz, we see this redemption of the lineage of the line of the kings, because it was Abimelech, the father of the kings, that died, his sons died, and then it was through Boaz that he redeemed the lineage of Abimelech through the birth of Obed, which led to Jesse, which led to King David, which led to all of the kings of Judah. Yes. So it's amazing how the Gentiles and the Jews are together. And it's not just here. We see it Rahab. We see many times God uses that he brings us together. And that's why I think today the most important thing of all is that we come together at one place. So Bethlehem Ephrathah, I believe, is one of those places where God's going to help us all understand just how perfect he is. So in the place of Bethlehem Ephrathah, there's a very special, in the Genesis, we read about a structure called Migdal Eder, which means the tower of the flock. Now, there's many towers. Towers, a lot of times, people lived in them, they stored things in them, but the tower of the flock is for the flock. It's for the lambs of God to be raised up inside that tower. And so what Solomon did whenever he became, when he got ready to build the first temple, he needed a place for the lambs of God to come to be raised up. And he needed that to be done by the Levites, the priests themselves. And he needed the oil to come from there to light the menorah and for the bread, the showbread, and for the incense. And everything that was going to go to the temple had to be produced. And so he went back to the farm of Boaz, which was also the farm of David, which also was the farm of Solomon. And so this is where he went to the Tower of the Flock, and he put a very special thing together, which once again, like Gilgal, where Gilgal is laid out east to west with an outer court, a holy place, and the Holy of Holies, he did the exact same thing inside the Tower of the Flock. And at the Holy of Holy place, which is to the west, this is where he built into the ground itself, into the very stone of the land, a manger where the lambs of God could be raised. These two very special sacrificial lambs, a Passover lamb and an Azazel lamb, that needed to be for the special ceremonies, special sacrifices that were going to be done in the temple. And so this was the place for that. And it was used from 1000 BC when Solomon set it up until about 50 BC. At that time, 50 BC, a very antichrist king got in power named Herod. And he said, you're not going to, I'm going to build the temple. So I'm going to set my own priest to doing providing. And I'm not going to provide from the place set aside by Solomon. I'm going to set off another place, which is at a place in Israel called Beit Gavir. And there my priest will produce everything for my much bigger, much larger, much more ornate temple that I am going to build on the Temple Mountain. And so that's what Herod did. And everything moved to the south at that time. All of the where you were able to purchase your lambs from the priest, your sacrifices, everything moved to the south at that time. But fortunately, it laid there undisturbed until today. And so, because the Jewish fathers of faith are back in the land, and we followed the ancient roadways and the mile markers that came out of the land as construction projects were done, we found the actual mile markers and the road, and followed the stories out of the Bible where Jacob was bringing Rachel to the Tower of the Flock in Genesis, and able to locate the exact location of where the lambs of God were raised from 1000 BC until 50 BC. And then we find in that place there are artifacts that say that is also the place where Yeshua was actually born, in that same tower, at the Tower of the Flock there in the same place.
Yes.
So that brings us together at a place that's Bethlehem Ephrathah, from Micah 5, this place that was set aside by the Lord, by God, so for us to understand and know in the last days. It's been hidden, but it is to the glory of God sometimes that things are hidden, but it is to the glory of kings and his children to go and discover those things. And so this is some of the things that we've been doing since 2007, is helping church leaders and Jewish people and people from all over the world to rediscover these exact archaeological finds and understand them. So that's a big part of what we're doing over there.
It is. And you were kind enough to invite me over there. And actually, one of these tours, you exclusively took me to these places. And I remember getting burrs in my socks and going, Byron, what's this? What's this little outcropping of rocks here? And what's this over here? And you walked me through, was it the King's Highway area? Was that what it was called?
Yeah. So you walked me through there.
And one of the most remarkable things is you identify, you know, like in the book of Ruth, that Esther and Boaz and things like that. You said, well, this is where this happened with Ruth and Boaz. And this is where Boaz was in the city gate and he took off his shoe right here. And I'm going, whoa, you know, sometimes we have to have an awareness that the things that are actually written in scripture literally happened. And you taking me there blew my mind. I mean, I was speechless. So why don't you walk us through this? We're going to spend this and the next segment talking about this area tied to Micah chapter 5 and also the book of Ruth, talking about Ruth and Boaz and so many of the other things, including where the priests did their shepherding and things like that. So spend a little bit more time setting up the rest of this, and we'll spend the next segment digging more deeply. Byron Stinson.
I'm sorry, Cad. You want me to go ahead and start right now? I got a little lost in it.
No. That's the fault of the announcer. Oh, that's me.
I'm sorry. Okay.
We're not going to take a break yet. We're going to, in about 2 minutes, we'll take a break.
Okay. All right. Okay. Perfect. Sorry about that. Okay. So you have to have evidence, and you have to follow the Bible. So in the Bible, when we read the story of Ruth and Boaz, we see that Boaz went to the very city gate to make the agreed-upon arrangements to redeem the line of Abimelech's lineage. And so you had to have a city gate. You have to have walls around the city, or you won't have a gate. The problem with the Bethlehem that Queen Helena at 300 AD identified was it was protected by Roman soldiers and garrisons and not walls like a city from 1500 BC would have been. So when those walls had been torn down by the Babylonians back in 586 BC, they were long gone at the time that Herod gets there. They're long gone when Queen Helena gets there at 300 AD. Nobody knows those walls, the base of those walls are there until the Six-Day War in 1967. So when that happens, the Egyptians and the Jordanians dug into that hilltop trying to keep it, and they hit the remains of the walls. So today, that has all been explored archaeology. We found all the Babylonian arrowheads. There are found Babylonian swords. There's a great battle there as the princes in the line of King David were killed there on the spot, and then are emasculated and taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And all of that happens just a short distance from the Tower of the Flock or the Fields of the Shepherds. And so today we can go and we can see by the archaeology and by the stones that are left there that Hiram in the Bible says he came down and he helped build the temple for Solomon. And in that temple, because of archaeological things that were found in the city of David digs in 2004-6, they confirmed the archaeological finds that were found in late 1960s and 70s at a place called Ramat Raquel, and that puts it together as the real city of Bethlehem from Boaz and Ruth time.
Yes.
That's how we can find the actual gate and know where Boaz would have gone to accept and there to redeem the line of Abimelech. And it's from there that we can follow straight down into the shepherd's field.
Very good.
A short distance away to the Tower of the Flock.
I need to take a break here, Byron, but I'll tell you what, my listening friend, you're realizing that the scripture as written is also literal. We're going to find out more about that when Byron and I come right back.
This is Come Together San Diego, the live local show on K-Praise. More Come Together San Diego is just moments away.
I'll tell the world.
Come Together San Diego with Kaz Taylor on K-Praise.
Well, hello, my San Diego Saints. On Come Together San Diego, it's a pleasure to have you as we meander through Scripture, not only in the biblical Scripture, the written down stuff, but also the literal stuff in the landscape of Israel. And my co-host and guest is Byron Stinson, Father's House Foundation, and so many more things. And he's also the team leader of Bonet Israel, actually doing intimate activities on behalf of Israel and its people. Byron, I'm so thrilled to recall the journey that you took me on when we were in Israel not long ago. By the way, my listening friend, let me give you a couple email and website pieces of information. If you want to talk to me, I have an email, and you can tell me, I love the show, or I have an idea for a show, or whatever you want to say. But that email address is cometogethersandiego, all one word, cometogethersandiego at kprz.com, cometogethersandiego at kprz.com. You also find more about Byron Stinson by just simply going to Byron Stinson, BYRONSTINSON.ME. And you can peruse his site and you can find out a lot about these things that he's sharing with you today. Byron, I want to get back to our discussion on this Bethlehem Ephrathah and the whole tie-in with Ruth and Boaz, which leads us to Jesus, which leads us as Gentiles into God's faith. God desires to bring the Jew and the Gentile together. Perhaps the most illustrative picture of that is found in the story of Ruth and Boaz. And so this property, the properties, if you wanted to say that, that you took me to not long ago and walked me around there, I was just came face to face with the reality of how important they are because they illustrate God's heart cry to bring the wild olive branch and the literal olive tree, Israel and the Gentile, together as this one new man in Christ. We have so much to be thankful for, and bringing me to those areas in a recent journey there made me appreciate that all the more. You want to talk a little bit more about that? I mean, this is significant. Particularly, you took me there and you pointed out a number of different areas. You say this area right here? Yes. Well, that's where Ruth met Boaz on the threshing room floor, and my jaw dropped. But it would drop even more when you explained further about what that area held. Byron Stinson.
So thank you, Kaz. And again, anybody wants to go on one of these trips, they're available through fathershousefoundation.com. Dr. John Turner is the leader of that. And we actually are blessed to have an archaeologist named Ellie Shukron, who's the head archaeologist over the City of David, helps with our tours. And you'll be blessed if you get to go on one of those trips this next year. We're already building trips for next year. So I'm going to kind of shift a little bit to the spiritual here, Kaz, sure. Because it is a physical thing, but it's a spiritual thing that we are come together as one tree. And I want to just point out to many people, we come from a Roman mindset, from the Roman Catholic Church, whether we know it or not, which came to a place, and I'd say in the 15, 1600s, that did not believe that there would ever be any Jews back in the land of Israel. And so that must mean something different than Israel must mean the church. It must mean that the Jews are no longer important, that now it's all about the church, and we've become Israel. That's called replacement theology. And that replacement theology, whether you know it or not, runs deep in the church. And now when God wants to make us one tree and bring us together, the fathers of faith in Israel, along with the children scattered in the nations, that replacement theology, it knocks us around a lot with a lot of the thinking that's gone on before us. So I just encourage everyone to read your Bible and understand that we are supposed to be one tree with the Jewish fathers of faith. And so they're very different. They're not like going to Africa to tell the good news. And because they were blind, the Bible tells us that for our good, for the church worldwide, for us to understand the things of Christ, of Yeshua, that the fathers of faith would be blinded for a time. And then we would come to our fullness. That'd be the fullness of the Gentiles. And then at that time, then this blindness goes away. All Israel is saved, which includes us as part of the tree and the Jews as a tree. And we are God's people. We're under Abraham's covenant and the covenant of blood in Yeshua, all of us. So if you know that's the truth and that's what God's putting together, then the anti-Semitism needs to stop. And we need to know, wait a minute, we've been mistaken about some of the things that we've been thinking. We need to find out more about the covenant of Abraham. We need to come back to that. And we need to realize that Yeshua, who was born in the line of the kings of Israel, was Jewish. And so was Peter. And so was Paul. And so were all the people that wrote the Bible. And if they were standing in front of us, they would not change from their Jewish religion to a Christian religion. That doesn't mean they wouldn't believe that Yeshua is the Messiah that came as the lamb, and that he'll be the Messiah that comes as a lion. We believe that 100%, and that's what they would believe and know was true. But they would still be Jewish in their religion and in their foundation of their kosherness, of keeping the Sabbath laws, all the things that they do. Those things are the things that they're supposed to do. If they hadn't done it, we wouldn't have Bibles to read if they hadn't done their part. So whenever the Gentiles started coming and believing in Yeshua and the Spirit of God living within the Gentiles, our Jewish fathers of faith, the disciples said, let's not put too much on to the Gentiles. Let's make it very minimal what's required of them. But they continued all the law and the temple sacrifices and all those things, even as they did not require that of us. So, my friends, the church has tried its best by forced conversion to make Jews become Christians. But we don't need to go there for that. That's not what we need to do. Doesn't mean that we don't encourage everyone in the world to believe that Yeshua is the Lamb of God and he's coming as the lion to bring about the kingdom of God. We need to sell that. But don't worry about them converting to Catholicism or Presbyterian or Baptist or whatever. Just the Jewish religion is a beautiful religion that has done wonderful things, still does wonderful things, and that's where they need to stay. And I will stay a Christian, and I don't need to become Jewish because then there's a lot more responsibility. And frankly, Kaz, between you and me, I still like to eat bacon.
You know, one of the things that struck me, Byron, when you were there, I had an opportunity to see you interact with Jew and Gentile, and even Arab. And one of the things that I appreciate about you is you have an ability to share the truth, and there's no condemnation in this thing. You definitely proclaim your Christian point of view, but the manner in which you present this makes you a very endearing person to a Jew and Arab and others as well, because you're not forcing them into things that biblically they shouldn't be forced into. But we in the quote unquote Christian church feel like we have to transform everybody into our particular denominational point of view. Not so.
That's true. And so God gets us each one there where he needs us. You know, I don't care if you're Muslim or you're Jew, you're Buddhist. If you believe in your heart that Yeshua is the Lamb of God and you're following after that, his Spirit's going to enter you and he'll take you where you need to go. It's not your religion that's going to get you there or stop you from getting where you need to go. It is the power of the Spirit of Yeshua living in you. If it's not in you, then you're not saved. Mm. You don't have that. If it's in you, I don't care. You can be whatever you want to be, just as long as you're following honestly after putting away sin out of your life the best you can, fighting that every day and trying to help people and love people and honor people. That's what God's looking at. And so that's what we try to do. The truth is God loves the entire world. He loves the Chinese just as much as he loves the Japanese, anybody. It doesn't matter. He loves the world, and religion is not his big thing. His big thing is having hearts that truly, truly love Yeshua, that truly, truly love the Father, and that are chasing after that and try to put away sin out of our life and follow in a righteous manner before him. That's what he's looking for. It's that simple for me.
Yep. Well, one of the things that I've realized in the church environment, a lot of people don't know how to incorporate Holy Spirit into their decision-making. And Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God, desires to invest himself into us, and we need to allow this to happen. And so, my listening friend, no matter from what denomination you come or from what other nationality or point of view you come from, understand that God has a Holy Spirit, and once you allow the Holy Spirit into your life and to instruct you, it changes the way you do things, and some of those old titles and name tags will drop away in the face of being a believer in God through Holy Spirit and introducing you to the personage of Jesus Christ himself. That's where the church needs to be. That's where the Jew and Gentile need to be. That's where God wants us to be, because he's got big plans for us if we simply listen and obey.
Yes.
Byron Stinson and I are going to talk more about this and so much more when we come right back.
More Come Together San Diego with Cass Taylor is next on K-Praise. Come Together San Diego with Cass Taylor on K-Praise.
Welcome back, my friends. Spending an engaging two-hour broadcast with Byron Stinson. We've talked a bit about the Gilgal Project. We've talked a little bit about Micah chapter 5, talking about Bethlehem Ephrathah and the cleaning project of the Garden of Gethsemane. I've been excited to have Byron kind of open the storybook and tell us some insights on something that is scriptural, but a lot of people aren't really sure they understand exactly what it's all about. Because actually, when I originally met Byron a few years ago, it was actually not him as being a resident in Israel, but also being a resident in Glen Rose, Texas, in the Texas area, and the introduction to the red heifer. And a lot of people go, red heifer? What's that? Well, it's scriptural and so much more. I'm going to have Byron kind of open that line of discussion right now. Byron, amazing stuff going on right now.
Yeah, Kaz, people, I was just looking at my website. There are people literally from every nation of the world that have their curiosity. They've heard about the red cow or the red heifer ceremony that happens on the Temple Mountain. On the Mount of Olives, not the Temple Mountain. And so even Hamas came out at the 100-day mark and said the reason they did these atrocious things on October the 7th was because these red cows that our group, Bonet Israel, shipped from Texas to Israel were the reason why they felt like the Al-Aqsa Mosque was being attacked, and so that's why they wanted to attack and kill people. That's not true, by the way. They want to attack and kill people, and they don't need an excuse for that. That's just what they want. And that's evil inside of them, and I hate it for them because they will come up and face the master of the universe someday. But at any rate, that has to be dealt with. The Jewish people are dealing with that. Thank God for that. And I won't go too deep into that, but I'm just glad to see that the Jewish people are unified and they know that they have to once and for all deal with that, in that situation in Gaza. So that, I'm thankful that's being done. The red heifer ceremony is a ceremony of purification, Kaz.
And it's spoken of in Scripture, is it not? In the book of, was it Numbers?
Numbers 19, yep. It's required. And what the purpose of it is to take everybody that's sprinkled with the ashes of the red heifer, the water, the living water and the ashes of this red heifer, which, by the way, to me represents Yeshua himself, mixed with living water, and you sprinkle with that, and it's like as if the Spirit of God is on you, which raises things to a higher level. Many of my Jewish fathers of faith that have studied this, they know that they are contaminated by death, and the only way from that is with this red heifer ceremony, and they're very excited, and they look at this worldwide. Every Jew in the world looks at this ceremony and understands it needs to take place. The problem has been there for 2,200 years, there has not been a red cow ready in its third year to do this ceremony. And they came and they asked me to hunt for those in Texas, and we put a team together. We're able to find five of them that we got to Israel. Out of the five, they're all of age now. They all turned of age in February.
They had to be over 2 years of age. Doesn't the scripture say that?
That's right. It has to be in the third year, which is confusing to people. They think you have to be three. No, you start your third year when you get to your second birthday. And then they have to be 2 years old and 3 months older than that, because there's a buffer zone in Judaism to make sure they're old enough. This was decided on by rabbis just recently because they hadn't dealt with this for 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. And so it's all decisions are being made by rabbis about the ceremony. There's many want to do it. Some are confused and not sure. Some think it's from the devil and it's witchcraft. But it's not. It's right out of the Bible. It's a commandment of God, and it's a commandment that is supposed to bring about a higher level of spirituality. It actually should bring about the people that can see and hear better and for miracles on earth, for the spirit of prophecy to return. Many in the church think that there are prophets today, and there are people that God allows snippets of things to understand what's going ahead. Some of them know quite a few things that are going ahead, that are going to happen. But the thing is, that's not a prophet. A prophet is someone that God speaks directly to him. He can write down word for word everything God says and make a book and give it to people, and they know exactly what God said because it's God's words. That's a prophet. So there hadn't been any prophets, and until this red heifer ceremony comes about, we won't have prophets. But then the spirit of prophecy will fall upon the earth, and we'll get the information that God would give his people, and we'll come together as this ceremony happens. So that's the hope, and that's what the Bible tells us is going to happen. So that's why the red heifers were shipped there. I can't do much more than that because now it's in the hands of the rabbis in Israel for them to make their case before the governments and for the people of Israel to say, this is what our God says to do. We should trust him and do it. And we'll see. I believe that the people of Israel are ready to trust the word of God and know that he's going to be with them as they are bold and brave like Joshua and move forward into this ceremony. So they're there, and the process is moving forward.
So help me understand from a Gentile point of view, this is a scripture that was really, was it pertaining exclusively to the Jews and not the Gentiles? And if that's so, how does this impact us from a Gentile point of view?
Well, I believe everything that God gave to Moses in the wilderness as they're preparing to start moving towards understanding and knowing about God, all of it is for teaching. And it's for teaching Jews, but it's also for teaching anybody that loves God. And so that's why the feast of the Lord were given. That's why these dates and times and months and seasons and stars, all these things were put in place as educational things that we need to understand. And the red heifer is one of those things. And they all tie back to the truth of Yeshua. They all tie back to this time when we have to turn and together ask for the Messiah. So the Jews know that as this red heifer ceremony happens and as the temple is built, which we see in Micah 4, it says in the last days, people will come from all over the earth to see this temple that's going to be built. It will get built, and people will come to Jerusalem to see this temple. And then we will see the Antichrist come and say, no, you have to stop having these sacrifices inside God's temple. It's not Satan's temple. It's God's temple where he shows up and stops it. And so all those things are coming in place right now, getting closer and closer. And when it gets here, it's to be a blessing to the earth, even though there's a time, a short time, when the Antichrist shows up and says, you can't buy or sell or do anything if you don't follow my rules. And most of the world says, yeah, let's do it like that. Let's follow this Antichrist. And so those that believe in Yeshua and those that believe in the Messiah will have a very hard time for 3.5 years. But then when the 3.5 years are up, that's half of seven, then we'll see the Messiah arrive and peace arrive and the kingdom on earth begin as he destroys the armies of the world that come against it. So there is a time of tribulation ahead. Some people think there will be a rapture before that. Some people think, well, it's just the church is going to go and the Jews are going to stay. Once again, that's not one tree. That's two trees if you think that. So you're confused. I'm sorry. You're just confused. So we'll either all go together or we'll all stay together. Ooh. And there is a time when Yeshua comes and we're gone at that time because he comes with fire. He comes to destroy with the wrath of God, to destroy evil.
Yep.
And if you're not evil, you're not going to be here when that happens. Thank God. There will be rapture. There will be out of here for the wrath of God. But the time of tribulation started a long time ago. Right. We're already in tribulation. If you don't believe that, talk to some of the families of those Christians in Iraq that were put in cages or had their throats slit by ISIS. You know, I mean, they're already, and it'll talk to the people, the Christians in Africa that are being murdered and chopped with machetes. Talk to the Christians worldwide that are under persecution. And now the persecution even is starting in the United States.
Yes.
So the persecution is already on us. The tribulation times are on us. When it gets really, really bad is going to be whenever you're being arrested and taken in front of leaders and you have to speak up because of your faith. So to do that, you need to know the Bible. You need to know the word, and you need to be one with the Jewish fathers of faith as this happens, and be prepared for this this little bit of time where we will make it.
Yep.
And we don't have to take that mark during that time. Even though they take our business, even though they take our homes or whatever they take, we have to have our eternal life. So don't take that mark. When you recognize it, don't take it.
That's right. Byron Stinson, thank you. We're going to talk more about this because we've really hit a nerve, basically. I think a lot of people that are studying Scripture realize that God is blending the natural truths that Israel is embracing and the supernatural truths that many in the church are embracing and bringing them together in these last days.
Yeah.
So my listening friend Byron Stinson is going to stay with us. We're going to talk a little bit more about maybe the Temple Institute as it ties to the Red Heifer Project and so much more when Byron Stinson and I come right back.
This is Come Together San Diego, the live local show on K-Praise. More Come Together San Diego is just moments away. Now, back to Come Together San Diego, the live local show on K-Praise with Kaz Taylor.
Welcome back, my friends, to Come Together San Diego, my San Diegites. I know this is something many of you that are listening really embrace and enjoy studying the Scripture. In this topic of a temple coming soon to a world near you and the red heifer spoken of in the book of Numbers, many of you are tracking things going on in podcasts and things like that. And you're hearing a lot about the red heifer and the implications of the red heifer. Some of those are biblically accurate and many of them are not biblically accurate. You'd be very aware of what some people, many of them in innocence, are telling you, and they're misapplying the truths. And other people just actually do have a deeper knowledge of this. Byron Stinson has been tracking this since he was intimately involved with and responsible for discovering red heifers in Texas, in the Glen Rose area and other surrounding areas of Texas, and actually was responsible for shipping these red heifers, five of them, to Israel. And so he knows quite a bit about that. So if you want to ask somebody about some insights about the red heifer ceremony and some godly insights using Scripture, one guy who really enjoys using Scripture to make his point, Byron Stinson. Byron, why don't you continue the discussion regarding the red heifers and even the ceremony attached to them? Byron Stinson.
So the ceremony, the first time it was done by Moses, and it was done 1 year after the children of Israel were allowed to go free from Egypt. God used that year to prepare them, give them all the instructions on how to make the Mishkan, the tabernacle tent. And then to start it was the very first ceremony is the red heifer ceremony, which is not understood. Solomon said, I understand all these things about why we have Sabbaths and all the different rules. They're all good for us. It's all good things that God gave us these rules, but I don't understand the red heifer. And so there's still a lot of people don't understand it, and I don't think we'll know the fullness of it until we're with the Lord. But this is a ceremony that he said to do, and so that's enough reason for the Jewish fathers of faith to do it because it is a law to do it. And so they're following those laws and trying to honor their covenant, which is in Abraham. By the way, Christians, by and large, are just, as you spoke earlier, is more spiritual and less physical. Where our fathers of faith, Judah, back in the land, they're very physical and not so much spiritual. So we're coming together, spirit and truth. And as we become one, then we honor God both in spirit and truth. But the covenant of Abraham was very, very much a physical covenant because the covenant of Abraham was the promise of giving the land to the descendants of Abraham and giving godly nations to the descendants of Abraham. So the land is the land that is being fought over right now that we see in the press every day. That's the land that God gave a promise to Abraham. If he would go to the land, that will become his descendants, their land. So it is going to happen. Well, it hadn't happened yet, but it's going to happen because God's covenants are true, and they will get the land. And then we see that there's a covenant of these nations joining them, these 60 godly nations. And so what the Jewish fathers of faith know they need to do is build a house of prayer, which we call a temple. They want to build a house of prayer on God's holy mountain where he said to build it, that is for the godly nations. It's for them as Jews, but it's for us as godly nations. So they want the United States of America to have a place to come and pray on God's holy mountain in peace, to pray next to a Muslim who can pray there, to pray next to a Buddhist who can pray there, to pray next to a Jew who can pray there. And we're praying to our God, and we're praying through the Son of God, the only begotten Son, who is Yeshua. And together, God will lead us all in the truths that he wants there on that holy mountain of God. And that's why we see that there is scripture after scripture through the Old Testament saying that there will be another temple built, and God will arrive at that temple with his glory, and he will help restore and revive all things, bringing us closer to eternal life, which is God's plan to restore eternal life to mankind. But we have to go through the process. We're getting close. We're in the sixth day out of 7 days, each day being 1,000 years, because a day is like 1,000 years to God. And we're finishing the sixth day and about to enter into the seventh day, the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, physical on earth, where God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray for that.
Oh,
we need to pray for the Messiah to come, for him to rule from the holy temple on the Temple Mountain during that 1,000-year millennial reign.
I couldn't agree more. You know, and we've had many conversations sitting by an open fire or looking out over the landscape in Israel. And part of our discussions really dealt with the tabernacle of Moses. So you and I both have an appreciation for that. But one of the comments that you made earlier was the very first tabernacle of Moses dedication could not be dedicated without the blood, the ashes of the red heifer. That was actually the beginning of this. And there have only been 8 red heifers since the times of Moses until now. That blows my mind. And here we are in the time of the introduction to the next red heifer. Many, many people that believe in God, especially from a Hebrew point of view, and maybe even from some Muslim points of view, know when this happens that the Jews' Messiah, in other words, the Messiah of all nations, is going to be coming soon to a world near you. That, to me, it boggles my mind that we are in those times with this red heifer issue going on right now. Any thoughts about that? Particularly Tabernacle of Moses, I know that that has been and is a springboard into some of the greatest truths a person can imagine. Byron?
Amen. So a little correction, what the Jewish fathers tell me, there's been 9 red heifers.
Right, 9.
But it is written that the 10th one would come at the time of the Messiah, or actually the power of the Messiah would bring the 10th one. And so that's what we're looking for, is this 10th and final red heifer. And so we're at that time. And whether it's this particular 5 cows we took, or if they have offspring, because we, like 2 of them already have some wine black hair, so we're going to have the reddest bulls in the world get their semen and then continue to breed them super red cows there in Israel. And they're being bred at the place, you know, the Mishkan or the tabernacle tent was taken to Shiloh. After being 10 years at Gilgal, it goes to Shiloh for 370 years. And that's exactly where the cows are right now, is at Shiloh. And if you have a group and you're not going with Father's House, or you go with some other group, that's fine. Just make sure your tour director knows that you want to go to Shiloh and you go see those cows. And you see the work that's being done with them to propagate that and to continue to raise more cows there at Shiloh in the future.
My, my, my. So I know you're very much excited. My listening friend, you heard a little bit about Byron Stinson. He's got his fingers in the pie in many areas right there in Israel, in many historical areas right now. One of them is tied to the red heifers. So you know that he's a guy who, when God tells him something, he jumps in. He just doesn't – you talk about putting your toe in the water and seeing what happens. Once you put – Byron puts his toe in the water and God says, I'm favoring this, he doesn't spend much time from the area of toes in the water to full immersion. So I appreciate that about you. You're just not a passive obeyer of the word. You're vigilant when you realize that God is in it. So what lesson would this be for our listening friends here? We've got only two more minutes in this next to the last segment. So I want you to set the stage, Byron, for the last segment, which we're going to tie everything together. So what would you tell our listening friends right now in the minute or so remaining?
Well, Kat, I guess, you know, be encouraged, be happy that we're living in the most biblical time there's ever been in history. We're living at the time when Messiah is soon to come, and our fathers in faith want the Messiah to come, and we want the Messiah to come. And so let's do everything in our power individually to let the fathers of faith in Israel who are fighting for the land, to let them know we're behind them. We know God wants that land to be theirs. We understand that the Palestinian people are actually Jordanians that were left there after the Six-Day War, and they're still in the land. They took the title of Palestinian later on because there had been an area that had been named Palestine. But they're actually Jordanian. They should be Jordanian citizens, but they were left there after the war. So we understand those things. We understand the tricks of the enemy, and we stand with Israel, and we ask Israel, stand strong and do what you have to see these things of God come true today. Don't wait. Let's make sure it happens today.
My listening friend, Byron and I are going to be back to tie everything together in the next segment. But we are in the biblical last days, and you and I are in it for a reason. Let's discover what that reason is when Byron and I talk about that in the last segment. So we'll be right back.
This is Come Together San Diego, the live local show on K-Praise. More Come Together San Diego is just moments away. Now, more of Come Together San Diego, the live local show on K-Praise. Here's Kaz Taylor.
Yes, my friends, Come Together San Diego. Welcome back to the last segment of Come Together San Diego with one of the most remarkable Bible students and a lover of Israel and the United States, one of the most impactful that I've ever met, Byron Stinson. And Byron, it's the last segment of this two-hour broadcast, time to tie everything together and give kind of a summary outline and an encouragement for people that are listening right now. And don't forget about giving them your website as well. They can find out more about what's going on in Israel and your part of the United States and beyond. Byron Stinson.
You know, Kaz, every time I think about you and I think about San Diego, such beautiful weather and beautiful people out there. One of my favorite people I ever met in my entire life was a gentleman named Ray Bentley. And then that takes me to Maranatha Church out there.
Yes.
You guys out there in San Diego are so blessed to have that congregation of believers. And so if you see any of them, just tell them Byron said hello out there. I always think of that.
Yep.
And of course, you, Kaz, is a great friend. But I would say that what I've been able to do in my life was just trust the Lord enough to give. Sometimes I didn't have a lot of money, but whenever the project would come up, the Lord would find a way to bless money-wise. And I found out that there is something in the Bible that says those that bless Israel will be blessed and those that curse Israel will be cursed. And it's true. And so I've lived my life trying to bless Israel, and I've never been able to outgive God. And I can tell you honestly, millions have gone out and God returns it. Never more than I need, but there's always a sandwich at the end of the day. He takes care of me, okay? He takes care of my family. But I want everyone to get to be part of blessing Israel, and a lot of you probably are. But if you're not doing it actively with a little bit of money, I really encourage you to do that. And not because it means anything to me. I won't take a penny of it. But we set it up with Bonet Israel to take in $7 a month from anyone that wants to send about the equivalent of a couple of cups of coffee at Starbucks to help us. And the reason we chose seven is because that's God's number of perfection. And it's also kind of fun because we flew the cows to Israel on a 777 jetliner from American Airlines.
Yes.
So if you give $7 a month, what that does when we see that, that's someone out there that believes in us and wants us to continue our work and help feed the cows and restore the Gilgal rocks and do all these things. So that really helps us, not so much the money, although the money helps, but it really helps that you believe in us enough to make a donation of $7 a month. So if you go to Bonneh Israel, B-O-N-E-H, Israel.com, there's a donation link and a lot of information you can read about our organization. And we invite you, if you'd like, to be a partner with us and help us with $7 a month. And then one of our next projects, just to tease it a little bit, I've already got the website. I don't think I've told you this, Kaz. The website we have now is called buildthetemple.com. I won't tell you what we hope to do. I'll just tell you that's the name of the website, buildthetemple.com. Maybe you can guess what it is we want to do.
Oh, my. My. You know, the guys at the Temple Institute, you have Rabbis Saki and Hanan among them, and I had an opportunity to meet them through you. Thank you. I actually met them in San Diego with Ray Bentley back in the day when Ray Bentley was with us. And so I've been tracking all these things, and you and Rabbi Saki seem to be best friends in a manner of speaking. And when both of you have these ideas, I just like to sit back and watch how they unfold, because both of you are men of influence in the natural and spiritual. So when it's you have stuff going on.
It's something how the Lord uses it. And we have been friends for 17 years, and God has used us over and over. And I love him. He loves me. And we don't know how we get where we go. We just both want to see the doors open as God opens them. And when they open, we try to walk through.
Yes, you do.
I can't tell you it's a master plan, except for it's the master plan of the master. And he decided to use Saki and I together. And I'm so thankful for that. Now, I'm also very good friends with Rabbi Ariel with the Temple Mountain Institute through all of this work. He's given his whole life to being prepared to build the temple. They have everything for it, and it can be done pretty quickly. But the Red Heifer Ceremony is one of those things that needs to happen. And then there needs to be consensus that we're going to do this in a peaceful way, not to hurt anybody. You know, I'll tell you this. Israel has in their founding documents, it's a country that has freedom for you to go pray anywhere you want in the whole nation, Kaz. I can go pray anywhere I want. Jews can pray wherever they want. Muslims can pray wherever they want, except for one place. And that one place is the place where the God of Abraham said, this is where I want my house of prayer, on this Temple Mountain. And that's the one place that the only ones allowed to. The only ones allowed to pray there are Muslims. And so if you go up there and you're Christian and you're praying out loud, they'll arrest you. Or if you're Jewish, they'll arrest you. And they've tried to do that to keep peace, but instead it just brings more contention. Mm-hmm. And we just need to tell our Muslim friends, look, it's not against you. Keep the Al-Aqsa Mosque open. Continue to pray here. We want you to pray here. Pray right next to us. Let's hold hands. Let's sing songs together to God, okay? And let's sing to the God of peace, not to the God of war. And let's do that on God's holy mountain. And they probably won't do that, but that is the attitude of the Jewish fathers of faith and Christians that come there. And we've stopped praying there because we're trying to bring peace. But that's appeasement. And appeasement will only bring more and more trouble. And the only way to deal with it is by power and take down evil, stop evil when it tries to come.
Yes.
And so the evil needs to stop and good needs to prosper on God's holy mountain. And everyone from all nations needs to come and pray on God's holy mountain in a temple that's built as a house of prayer for all nations. That's the goal. It might be a while, but it may not be, because maybe enough people's hearts will be turned that they want to see things change and they want to see the kingdom come and God's will done on earth as it is in heaven, because that's the goal.
Yeah. I love it, Byron, when you say it may be a while, and then you pause and say, or maybe not, because we really don't know. All God's doing is looking for hearts that are in pursuance of him and a willingness to hear Holy Spirit and obey. And at that point, what could be expanded into a long time could be significantly shortened by the obedience of God's kids. So, Byron, I'm going to give you, listening friends, a couple websites for you on this, because we're coming down to the end of the show. But let me just say right now, Byron, always a joy to see you and talk with you and Tammy and Isaac, your youngest as well. And those websites, it was a pleasure. The websites for Bonneh Israel, B-O-N-E-H, Israel, all one word, BonnehIsrael.com. And, of course, we also gave you the email for ByronStinson.me. Find out more about those things. It's getting close to the time to wind down. I'm going to let you make a parting closing statement. Take about 30 or 40 seconds. Sorry about that. And then I'm going to say
no problem.
So lay it on us, Byron.
So, Father, in the name of Yeshua, the only hope for salvation for all of us, I just give this blessing to anyone that's listening. I just ask the Lord to bless your home, bless you with peace, bless you with love, fullness of spirit. I ask God to protect your homes and to give you wisdom in everything you're doing, to prosper your businesses. And Father God, just to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thou art the power and the glory forever and ever. You're our King. You're our God. Amen. I love you guys. Thanks for the time with you.
It's a pleasure. Byron Stinson, remarkable man, remarkable friend of mine, but a remarkable friend of God. No denying that. Byron Stinson, thanks for joining us. And you know I'm going to be bugging you periodically, sending you notes and things and saying, hey, did you see this? Hey, what do you think about that? That's what our relationship basically is. Byron Stinson, God bless you, man. My listening friend, it's drawing a close on this Come Together San Diego broadcast right now. And we always have good stuff for you on Come Together San Diego. Thus the name, Come Together San Diego. Our heart cry is to bring God's kids together and have different points of view to expand your point of view as far as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his plans for you and the Jew and others. We'll talk more about these things in future shows. So when we sign off, I want you to be prepared maybe to visit the archives and see what God's been stirring in us in the past, but also anticipate what he's stirring in you and us in the future on Come Together San Diego. God bless you guys.
Thanks for joining Cass Taylor and his many friends, including you, for Come Together San Diego. Join us again next week as we explore what unity in the body of Christ sounds like within this county and beyond on Come Together San Diego. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker, and then let's all come together San Diego next Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. on K-Praise.